Catholic Connection is a co-production of Ave Maria Radio and EWTN Radio and carried across the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network.
Welcome to Catholic Connection with Teresa Tomeo, keeping you connected to your faith and your world. Teresa tackles the issues of faith and culture, the pro-life message, and media awareness. And now, here's Teresa Tomeo.
And it's a Wednesday. It's October 5th, 2022, the Feast of St. Faustina from Poland. Jesus, we trust in you. Divine Mercy Chaplet, the message of Divine Mercy given to St. Faustina by our Lord, and a beautiful, beautiful story of faith and someone who was not really well respected by her fellow sisters. They didn't think much of her work and what she was doing at the convent. They thought she was rather ignorant and not worth much. And look at what the Lord did in terms of entrusting her with the most important message of Divine Mercy. This is an incredible month of saints, I'm telling you. It's just phenomenal. I've already had, of course, St. Teresa of Lisieux. And we had, let's see, St. Francis yesterday, now St. Faustina today. Just a phenomenal, phenomenal week of saints. Also the guardian angels earlier this week as well. Coming up in the program, so much to talk about. Excited to have our good friend, one of our fearless leaders at EWTN, Dr. Matthew Bunsen, joining us on a brand new EWTN news poll showing results regarding the could-be elections. Well, let's see, the presidential election in 2 years, what Catholics are saying, and also what this reveals about coming up in November for the midterm election. So Dr. Matthew Bunsen joining us at 15 minutes past the hour. Much to discuss with him. And then also, Joan Lewis. Where in the world is Joan? Well, as Andrew says in my rundown that he sent to me this morning, live from some unknown state. She is stateside, and she's been traveling on vacation, but also doing some work, and she's always gracious to try and squeeze us in, and so she will join us. And I'm hoping that we can talk about the Holy Father's audience message today, which was really beautiful. You can see a full report on CatholicNewsAgency.com, giving us a life hack, a holy life hack, as Catholic News Agency reports, in terms of knowing the passwords to your heart. We have passwords to everything, right? And codes. We have the code to our cell phone, and we have passwords for our laptops and our, you know, iPads and whatnot. But who has the password, or what is the password to your heart? I love that analogy, and that is the summary of his message for the audience as he continues his catechesis in terms of helping folks grow in their faith. A really, really cool catechesis on discernment that has been going on for a couple of weeks now. So that is the program. It is a Wednesday morning edition of Catholic Connection. Depending on where you're living in the United States, you may be having some beautiful fall weather as we are in the northern part of the country, in Michigan, Wisconsin, Illinois, Ohio. Gorgeous weather, sunny. We're having highs in the 70s today, kind of like an early Indian summer already. It's been beautiful all week long, and even last week, sunshine and the colors are changing. Just a stunning time of year. But then you still have some of the states on the East Coast that, believe it or not, are still feeling the effects of Hurricane Ian with rain. For example, according to the National Weather Service, a pesky, almost stationary area of low pressure continuing to produce rain showers along with gusty winds and coastal flooding in the Northeast and the Mid-Atlantic today. So that's going to hang around for another day or so keep that in mind. The rest of the country looking pretty clear. Parts of the Southwest, some parts of Texas could get some rain in the Northeastern Florida, but overall, looking pretty nice across this beautiful country of ours. We have a lot of news to get through, never a dull moment, as we always say, so let's get started. Again, you are listening to the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network. It is a feast of St. Faustina, October 5th, 2022. Well, over 100 people now confirmed dead in the aftermath of Hurricane Ian. Reporter Dasha Burns breaks down the continued recovery effort.
FEMA tells us that they have a total of 17 urban search and rescue task forces, 104 boat squads, more than 60 canines in the field, a total of 1,289 personnel and counting.
The vast majority of the deaths are in Florida, where the storm made landfall as a devastating Category 4 hurricane last week about this time, and where rescue crews are still going door to door looking for survivors. The storm obliterated entire communities, left people homeless and others on islands separated from the mainland. More than 1,900 people have been rescued as of Monday. Four were killed in North Carolina after the storm crossed into the Atlantic. Florida's Governor Ron DeSantis saying a bridge wiped out by Hurricane Ian will be restored and will be allowing crews to start the repair process.
We're going to have that bridge patched this week, so they're going to be able to go and access.
DeSantis saying he travels to Pine Island for the first time since the storm hit this week. He said the plan to get the causeway to Sanibel Island near Fort Myers fixed as well, so workers can start working on getting power back to that island. And he also plans on visiting Sanibel today to assess the damage firsthand and much more closely. And in looking for ways to make themselves more storm resistant, Florida's main power companies are now drafting what they call storm protection plans. Focuses have been put on buying power lines, burying power lines, but Florida Public Service Commissioner Gary Clark says Hurricane Ian proved storm surge can still be a massive problem.
And that's going to have a different effect on underground than wind would. So I am very interested in seeing how the restoration times for the repairs of undergrounds come out of this storm and how the underground systems are performed.
Currently, about 40% of Florida Power and Light's 75,000 miles of distribution line, well, they're underground, with plans to accelerate that number. Some commissioners showing concern for passing the increased cost on to already stressed residents. Meanwhile, Rick Hochschild tells us that new figures show more than $1.6 billion in insurance claims have already been filed by Florida residents due to Hurricane Ian.
The state's Office of Insurance Regulation says more than 222,000 claims have been filed, with nearly three-quarters of them for residential properties. Claims are expected to rise in the weeks and months ahead. Ian is already more costly than 2016's Hurricane Matthew. That storm led to more than 119,000 insurance claims, totaling $1.2 billion in estimated losses.
Meanwhile, the state of Florida warning folks to remain very cautious against insurance scams following the hurricane. State Chief Financial Officer Jimmy Petrona is saying folks need to be very wary of some claim adjusters and roofing contractors looking to exploit the most vulnerable. As we mentioned at the top of the hour, the Holy Father continuing his cycle of reflections on the theme of discernment during his catechesis at the Wednesday General Audience today. The Holy Father encouraging Christians to engage in patient soul searching in order to discover what we are most sensitive to, as well as recognize what's truly important. The Holy Father underlining that self-knowledge is key to discernment when discerning whom to marry or whether one is called to the religious life. Holy Father adding it's important to know what one's heart is most sensitive to protect oneself from temptation. Adding the devil knows the passwords to our heart, and it's important that we know them as well so as not to find ourselves where we don't want to be. He added, temptation does not necessarily suggest bad things, but often disordered things presented with excessive importance. They can be, for example, degrees, careers, relationships. All things are in themselves praiseworthy, but toward which, if we are not free, we risk having unrealistic expectations, such as a confirmation of our worth. From this misunderstanding, the Holy Father said, often comes the greatest suffering, because none of these things can be the guarantee of our dignity. Above all, he says, it's crucial to understand what truly matters to the heart. For only the Lord can give us, he said, confirmation of what we are worth. He adds that every day from the cross, he reminds us he died for us to show us how precious we are in his eyes. No obstacle or failure that can prevent his tender embrace. Most Catholics believe that Joe Biden, the nation's second quote-unquote Catholic president, should not run for a second term in 2024. That's according to a new EWTN News Real Clear Opinion Research poll of likely Catholics released earlier this week. And as we mentioned, Dr. Matthew Bunsen from EWTN joining us in a few minutes to talk about this in detail. The poll conducted in mid-September is showing Joe Biden continues to face challenges in garnering support among Catholic voters in the run-up to Election Day on November 8th. In particular, the poll indicates waning support for Joe Biden among Hispanic Catholic voters, traditionally a strong source of support for the Democratic Party. Among other highlights of the poll, Catholic voters risk inflation, rank inflation and the economy as the most critical issues facing the country, and most say they're very concerned about the state of education, especially after the lockdowns caused by COVID. Lisa G tells us the Drug Enforcement Administration warning parents across the country about the dangers of fentanyl as Halloween approaches.
The agency says during the past 15 weeks, it seized some 36 million lethal doses of rainbow fentanyl nationally. The DEA's special agent in charge, Frank Tarantino, says the most recent seizure was 15,000 multicolored pills found on the Manhattan side of the Lincoln Tunnel with some packaged in Lego boxes.
This is every parent's worst nightmare, especially in the month of October as Halloween fast approaches.
Tarantino says the pills are deliberately packaged to attract kids.
Meanwhile, the White House says Joe Biden does intend to run again in 2024. Biden reportedly told Reverend Al Sharpton last month he'll seek re-election. While the two posed for a photograph in the Roosevelt Room in the White House last month, the White House press secretary reiterating that yesterday, saying Biden himself said he intends to run in 2 years. Criminal charges against seven former Michigan officials in the first water crisis are now being dropped by a Michigan Circuit Court judge, Genesee Circuit Court Judge Elizabeth Kelly. She ruled the one-man grand jury did not have the authority to initiate the charges, but did not address the merits of the case. The ruling was only for felony charges, meaning the former governor, Rick Schneider, and the former Flint Department of Public Works director, Howard Croft, are still facing misdemeanor charges. Meanwhile, Flint residents say they're very disappointed and angry by that ruling. As gas prices continue to rise in California, state lawmakers there are weighing in on what needs to be done. State Senator Brian Jones, who represents portions of San Diego County, says Governor Newsom needs to do more to keep the prices under control, including looking into how state regulations affect gas prices.
And if the governor has the authority to, say, speed it up so we can get to the cheaper blend, then he ought to have the authority to redo a lot of these regulations.
AAA says the average gas price in California now, by the way, $6.41 a gallon. Lucinda Key explains the IRS says it does not send you text requests your info, which means do not click.
The IRS is tracking hundreds of thousands of text scams. It's called smishing.
If you cast a wide enough net, you may catch a few fish, so to speak, but even then, that's too many fish, too many.
Rafael Tolino is with the IRS. He says these IRS-themed smishings have increased exponentially in the past few weeks.
You don't have to give away your information just because somebody asks you for it, so you want to keep those things in mind.
In the latest scam, texts want you to click a link where phishing websites collect your info or might send malicious code onto your phone. These messages are red flags. Do not click.
An 8-year-old boy from Wisconsin with advanced heart failure is awake today and recovering from a first-of-its-kind surgery. Doctors at Children's Hospital in Texas removing Doug Beal's heart pump called an LVAD because of a severe infection. They treated the infection and have now put in a new heart LVAD.
Pump exchange is what they call that, and that has never been done on a pediatric patient. It's been done on adult patients, but even that's pretty rare.
That's Cammie Beal, little Doug's mom, and LVADs attached to the heart and then pump blood through the body, taking over for hearts that are no longer strong enough. Little Doug had another first in the nation 2 years ago when he was 6 years old when he received a first heart pump. Beal says he'll need to recover at the hospital a while before he's strong enough to go back to his home in Wisconsin. Michael Kastner tells us the country music community is continuing to offer words of appreciation following the passing of legendary artist Loretta Lynn.
Dolly Parton says she will miss her friend and sister, counting herself among Lynn's millions of fans. Operators of the Grand Ole Opry took to Twitter yesterday to thank the pioneering songwriter for 60 years of membership and the music she created. Country Hall of Fame CEO Kyle Young commended Loretta for sharing her brash and brave truth over the course of her long and storied career.
Elon Musk is planning apparently to go through with that deal to buy Twitter. The Tesla CEO agreeing to buy Twitter earlier this year for $44 billion, but then changed course and tried to back out. Now Twitter says its intention is to close the deal at $54.20 per share. And finally, in our news segment, at almost 14 minutes past the hour on a Wednesday morning edition of Catholic Connection, the Feast of St. Faustina, Trey Thomas tells us New York Yankee slugger Aaron Judge is now the all-time single-season home run leader in the American League after hitting number 62.
Judge broke his tie with Roger Maris after a homer against the Texas Rangers in his first at-bat of the second game of a doubleheader in Arlington.
He's done it! He has done it! 62!
Judge now solely owns seventh place on the all-time single-season homer list behind Barry Bonds, Mark McGwire, and Sammy Sosa.
It's a Wednesday once again, 14 minutes past hour. Thanks for tuning in to the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network. This program, among many co-produced by EWTN and Ave Maria Radio. Check us both out online for tons of info. EWTN.com, of course, and AveMariaRadio.net. All the shows are recorded and archived, and you can go to AveMariaRadio.net if you'd like to listen later or maybe share a portion of this program and others. When we come back, looking forward to chatting with Dr. Matthew Bunsen from EWTN about a new EWTN News Real Clear Opinion Research poll of likely Catholic voters. We'll be right back.
This program is brought to you in part by Charity Mobile, a proud partner of Ave Maria Radio for over 15 years. Charity Mobile is the pro-life cell phone company and has sent nearly $2 million to thousands of pro-life charities. 4G LTE coverage is available nationwide, and 5% of your monthly plan price goes to your favorite pro-life charity. A video introduction is available at CharityMobile.com. Charity Mobile, everyday living, effortless giving. CharityMobile.com.
Abortion.
Pornography.
Embryonic stem cell research.
Corporate contributions to Planned Parenthood. Do you invest in companies that are engaged in these practices? The Ave Maria Mutual Funds do not, and their investment portfolios reflect that. Ave Maria Mutual Funds are managed to conform to pro-life and pro-family values. Long-term investors can invest in the no-load Ave Maria Mutual Funds. You can learn more about the Ave Maria Mutual Funds today at 866-AVE-MARIA or visit AveMariaFunds.com.
Hi, everybody. Dr. Ray. It's tough raising faithful Catholic kids in today's world. How do you raise kids to stay true to their faith? Find out in a new free webinar hosted by Dr. Greg and Lisa Popcheck. The webinar is called Raising Confident Catholic Kids, and it's happening on Wednesday, October 12th at 7:30 p.m. Eastern Time. Sign up today at CatholicHome.com/webinar. Remember, it's free. That's CatholicHome.com/webinar.
People ask how they can care for older family members who can't fully care for themselves. One answer is Visiting Angels, America's choice in senior home care. Visiting Angels assists adults nationwide with 600 locations to continue living at home and not have to move into a nursing home. Their caregivers provide assistance in hygiene, meals, and light housework. Services are provided up to 24 hours per day, and you can select your caregiver before service begins. More information, including franchise opportunities, is on the web at visitingangels.com.
Welcome back, Catholic Connection. We are just about a month away from the very, very crucial and important midterm elections. And where do Catholics stand on the issues? Well, it's always great to go to real news sources, including our very own EWTN, News Nightly, Catholic News Agency, the National Catholic Register, all kinds of other great shows that we have the world over with Raymond, and of course, Pro-Life Weekly. And I think I mentioned EWTN News Nightly, also EWTN News In Depth, and someone who's involved in all of those efforts, our dear friend Dr. Matthew Bunsen from EWTN. Okay, so some pretty interesting results of the latest EWTN News and Real Clear Opinion Research poll. Good morning. Thanks for joining us. Tell us about it.
Good morning. Yeah, it's good to be with you. Well, as we have seen in our previous poll back in July, President Biden is really struggling with Catholic voters at this point. If we go back to 2020 and our last poll just before the election, which proved to be pretty accurate, he was ahead among Catholics about 52 to 46. That's now reversed. It's a mirror image of where he was. He's now underwater with Catholics, 52 to 46%. And one of the most striking results of this, too, was whether or not he should run for a second term. And only 22% of Catholic voters think that he should run again for president. 58% feel that he shouldn't run. Interestingly enough, a slightly larger group of Catholic voters, 67%, also think that President Trump should not run for president again in 2024. But one of the key takeaways from this, too, is that as a result of the president's challenges, we're starting to see, at least among Catholic voters, that Democrats are now trailing Republicans by 4 points in the generic ballot for Congress. Mm-hmm. So the Catholic vote, divided as it is, difficult to call an actual block at this point. But Catholic voters are together, at least, in not liking what the president's doing.
So when you're talking about Catholic voters, because we know there are Catholic voters, people who still identify as Catholic, but may not be going to church on a regular basis. And then there are those, for example, many of whom in our audience who are practicing their faith and very involved and do receive the sacraments on a regular basis. You see a difference there, don't you, in terms of those who basically maybe go to Mass once or twice a month, or maybe not at all, maybe just at Christmas and Easter, versus those who are actually fulfilling their obligations.
That's exactly correct. And one of the things that we did from the very beginning when we began partnering with Real Clear Opinion Research to do these polls was to be able to look at the Catholic vote, but then to understand what you're just saying, that there is a real disparity that exists between mass-attending Catholics and those who attend only yearly or never. And many polls simply say Catholics, and then survey Catholics. But what we have to do, because of the importance of sacramental life, but also how Catholics are responding based on their devotional and sacramental practice, is to be able to, what the technical term is, a crosstab, to figure out where Catholics are on the political spectrum, but then also on the sacramental practice spectrum, based on things like mass attendance, how often they go to confession, and what they say, at least, in terms of how they adhere to church teaching. And one of the things that we find is that President Biden has a disapproval among those who attend Mass at least weekly or more of about 75%, whereas those who attend Mass a few times a year or less, he has an approval of 53%. And then when we look at almost identical numbers as to who's going to want to vote for Republicans versus Democrats, Catholics who attend Mass once a week or more, 75% say they would vote for the Republican candidate, while those who attend Mass a few times a year or less, 54% say they would support a Democrat. So the gulf cannot be wider, and it's very important when we're doing polls like this to be able to understand that.
We're talking with Dr. Matthew Bunsen from EWTN on the new EWTN News Real Clear Opinion Research poll released just recently regarding likely Catholic voters and how they're going to be voting in this election and also in years to come at the next presidential election. I think it's important to note when we look at the overall polls, there was a story that came out showing that Democrats were moving ahead over the summer in terms of congressional races, but now they've lost that. And it seems that even among people who identify, quote unquote, as Catholic, meaning that they were raised Catholic, they still call themselves Catholics. In general, his overall disapproval rating, I mean, he's just not doing well at all.
No, that's right. And there are a couple of reasons for that. I think first, among the active mass attending Catholics, they really disapprove of many of his policies, in particular in the area of abortion, of gender ideology. But then we're also seeing why he's struggling among Catholics who attend Mass less frequently, and that is that when we surveyed all Catholic voters about what are the most pressing issues for them, the number one issue is inflation, the number two issue is economy and jobs. Now, we're talking between those two, that's 54% of all Catholic voters, that's across all spectrums, say that those are the two most pressing issues. Abortion comes in third at 10%, tied with immigration. It doesn't mean that abortion is not the preeminent issue of our time, but as we often see with presidential campaigns and midterm campaigns, a lot of the bread and butter issues, the practical issues, rise as voters are trying to make up their minds. And one of the most telling statistics in this entire poll was that 81% of all Catholic voters have been impacted significantly by inflation. And that is one of the core reasons why the president's numbers are where they are right now in terms of support.
And also among Hispanic voters, he's way down, or the Democrats are down overall.
This is, I think, one of the most significant takeaways that we found in this poll, and that is that the president is now really struggling with Latino or Hispanic voters. Even in July, he had a fairly high approval rating among them, and yet there's about 58% approval. Now he's about 50% of Hispanic Catholics say they either strongly approve of the president. 47% say They either disapprove or strongly disapprove. And of that group, 40% say they strongly disapprove. Those are very worrisome numbers if you're a Democratic strategist. His numbers among white Catholics are even worse. 54% strongly disapproving or disapproving. He only has a job approval basically at 44% among white Catholic voters. He's still holding steady among African-American Catholics. He has about a 90% job approval rate among them. But when we look, again, when we look at those numbers, 59% just in July among Latino Catholics, that has fallen now significantly to 50%.
And this is with even with a media, for example, that is so pro-liberal and really covers for him in terms of his many, many gaffes and the struggles he's obviously having cognitively. Of course, there was a big story that came out last week about him calling on Jackie, looking for Jackie, the congresswoman who was actually killed in that horrific accident in her home state, and her funeral was held, and he was looking for her, and the media saying, oh, well, we've all done that. Well, no, he's calling on a dead person. There's some very, very troubling things that are going on, and the media are saying, oh, it's fine, he's doing great, it's no big deal. And even with the media 24/7 supporting him, these numbers are very interesting, I think. So even with that positive PR coming from the left, he's still doing poorly. So I think people are obviously thinking really hard. More with Matt Bunsen when we come back.
The wisdom of Mother Angelica.
I want you to have such confidence in the Lord that you'll find such hope and see the beauty of the Lord, the majesty of God. What did our Lord say, huh? If your sins are as scarlet, oh, what? What's going to happen? They shall be made white as snow.
EWTN. Live truth. Live Catholic.
How does one describe Christ's relationship to his church? The Catholic Catechism says Christ is one with his church. He is the head, we are the members. Head and members together make up the whole body of Christ. Head and members form, as it were, one and the same mystical person. Saint Joan of Arc put it very simply to her judges. She said, "About Jesus Christ and the church, I simply know they're just one thing. We shouldn't complicate the matter." The Catechism also refers to the imagery of the bridegroom, the theme of Christ as the bridegroom of the church, as two in one relationship. Just as in marriage, two become one flesh, the church is portrayed as the spotless bride of the spotless Lamb. Christ has joined the church with himself in an everlasting covenant. This is Peggy Stanton, and this has been the Order of Malta's Minute with the Catechism.
I'm angry, frustrated. Sound like you? Someone you know? Well, it could be any of us from time to time. But there's different types of anger. It's not so cut and dry. Hi, everybody. I'm Dr. Ray. One thing is for sure, you don't need to suffer with anger frustration. In my book, Living Calm, Mastering Anger and Frustration, you'll learn whether your anger is a product of your nature or your nurture, and how to regulate those emotions and those thoughts. You can get Living Calm and all my other books at AveMariaRadio.net.
Minutes past the hour. It's great to catch up with our expert in residence at EWTN, expert on many things, Dr. Matthew Bunsen, of course, with the Register and EWTN News. And of course, there's so many great programs regarding the Saints. Always here to talk about the issues, including our latest poll that came out, EWTN News Real Clear Opinion Research of Likely Catholic Voters. Okay, here's what I'm wondering, and this is the reporter in me, the disconnect here. You have Biden, and I had that story in the news saying he's going to run again in 2024, his press secretary confirming it. Apparently, he told Sharpton when they were doing a photo op at the White House. And yet you see all of this that you just presented, not only this EWTN News Real Clear Opinion Research poll of likely voters, but voters in general are saying they don't think he should run again in 2 years. So is this a case of the emperor's new clothes? What do you think?
Well, I think from the standpoint of the secular media, right now he is the president of the United States. And I think in the absence of real alternatives within the Democratic Party, this were he not to run, this would set off, I think, a massive scrum politically within the party. We can already see some potential candidates trying to position themselves. Certainly, Vice President Kamala Harris would be.
Gavin Newsom in California. Yep. Mm-hmm.
Gavin Newsom. We see that with Pete Buttigieg. I think Amy Klobuchar. So Beto O'Rourke was trying to get himself strategically positioned with the run in Texas as governor, but that I don't think is going to end well for him based on the current polling. So we have a lot of candidates here who would like to line up, but right now the unity of the party requires that they stand behind President Biden, and that could set off a firestorm down the road if some of these gaffes continue and if he remains in such serious trouble as he is right now, potentially politically. I think everything will hinge on these midterms, that if the Democrats do better than is typical for midterms, we always expect the party in power to lose seats, then that would be one thing. If they have a bloodbath again, that's something else. So a lot's going to hinge a month from now, basically, on these midterms. Right now, based on a lot of the polling, and we have reporters in the field every day looking at the battleground states, the Republicans have suffered, in fairness, from some very poor recruiting. And in areas where they could be doing much better, they're not. Although there are a number of states, such as Nevada, where there's a real possibility of GOP pickups.
Arizona as well, too. Carrie Lake seems to still be doing pretty well out there.
Yes, right. The problem that you got, though, on the Senate side is that there's an uphill battle in a number of states. On the governor's side, which in many ways is post-Roe, has assumed real importance again. The state houses, governor's houses, those now have added significance because they will be the ones setting the agenda on the state-by-state level for how each state deals with the question of abortion. And so here we see the real significance in many ways of politically of the Dobbs decision. And each state house now assumes even greater importance. So down ticket matters. That's going to put a lot of pressure on both parties for recruitment for good candidates. And that it's an open question as to how both are doing.
Well, but you're saying in the polling that we've done, abortion is important, but it's not as high in terms of the major concerns people are facing right now with the economy.
That's right. As I was mentioning in our previous break in segment, only 10% of Catholics say right now, Catholic voters say that abortion is the most important issue facing the nation. But that's a reflection of two things, I think. First, we are in this post-Dobbs era. So for a lot of Catholic voters, the importance of Roe v. Wade, it has been overturned, so it doesn't have that same sense of urgency. That isn't necessarily correct, of course. But the questions of inflation and jobs in the economy are paramount in the minds of not just most Catholic voters, but most voters. As I was saying, too, that 81% of Catholic voters say that inflation has impacted them. A plurality of 41% of Catholic voters place the blame for inflation on Biden and his administration and his policies. And a majority of Catholics, too, 54%, say they don't have much or any confidence that the Inflation Reduction Act, which has been highly touted by the administration, is going to have any impact on reducing inflation. So looking at all of those together, it's a difficult field right now economically. And based on, again, everything we're seeing in terms of reports that are coming out in the month of October, things are not going to be improving based both on inflation and price of gas and overall job hiring.
So when we do these polls, and I know there's all kinds of polls out there, what do you hope, Matthew, that our followers, our readers, our listeners will take from these polls? A deeper understanding of where people stand? What should we do with this information, do you think?
Well, I think there are two things. So the first is understanding that this is a snapshot of Catholic voters, and understanding, too, that the Catholic vote, the so-called traditional Catholic vote, is a divided one. As a result of Catholics failing to understand and living the teachings of the Church properly and fully, that there is a real divide among Catholics as to how they respond to the great issues of our time. The other is understanding, as a result of these polls, where Catholics really are in terms of their sacramental practice. One of the most depressing aspects of our poll consistently has found that 50% of Catholics believe in the real presence. 40% of Catholics look at it, at the Eucharist only as a symbol, and another 10% don't understand or they're not sure. Those are horrendous numbers when we look, too, that only 24% of Catholics go to Mass once a week, 1% attend Mass daily, and then only 26% of Catholics go to confession at least monthly or yearly, and 50% never go to confession. So that goes hand in hand with the belief numbers in the real presence, but it also explains why Catholics are divided, even in this poll, about 46-42, on the issue of abortion. So there's a lot of work for all of us to do, but as Catholics, it starts with us understanding our fellow Catholics and doing what we can to help them understand what the Church actually teaches and believes.
Right. It's a responsibility of all of us. And I think these polls are very good in terms of giving us a look at what's happening. But also, I think the most important thing is to go deeper, Matthew, and say, okay, what do we need to do to bring that message home about the real presence? And we're in the middle of this beautiful Eucharistic revival, of course, led by Bishop Cousins, and these events going on around the country. So this is a prime opportunity for us, not just to look at the elections. Obviously, elections matter. But at the end of the day, if we don't change people's hearts, our culture is not going to change.
That's absolutely true. Absolutely true. And we can derive a small amount of comfort that the 70, in this poll, 77% of Catholics believe in guardian angels.
Well, there you go.
Higher, but we need their help.
Yeah, we certainly do with everything that's going on. So when will the next poll come out? Do you have another one planned before the election or no?
Yeah, we are going into the field with that poll very shortly, and we will have a third and final poll for this election cycle toward the end of the month, just in time for the actual election itself, and
wow,
we'll see how accurate we are. So
all right,
far,
well,
we've had a pretty good track record.
Yeah, I mean, I think it's very important. It's great information, and I think at the end of the day, it really does help us discern where we're at in the Catholic faith. Dr. Bunsen, always great to catch up with you, and all the details you can find, number of our resources, including a full report on CatholicNewsAgency.com. We'll be right back. Speaking of EWTN, Joni, where in the world is Joan Lewis? Well, we'll find out coming up next on a Wednesday. Stay tuned.
Miracles are miracles because they're different than regular daily life. A miracle is a reminder that something beyond nature can act within nature. Miracles are meant to open our eyes that more is always going on than just the normal humdrum of the daily life. Miracles are supposed to make us realize that our moral choices are impacting an invisible world that once in a while breaks through into our workaday world. The Blessed Mother predicted the miracle of the sun, and she made it clear that she was using it as proof of the truth of her message. In other words, when the sun stops dancing and you get back to church, to work, to home, remember what's at stake when you pray the rosary.
Cresta in the Afternoon, weekdays at 4 Eastern on EWTN Radio.
Father Benedict Groeschel.
I'm operating on the gifts of the Holy Spirit when I don't feel well, even when I'm annoyed, when I'm down and out. During my recovery from an automobile accident, immense numbers of people wrote to me and sent me emails, 50,000. And they told me how helpful they thought my talks on EWTN were to them. I'm delighted. But I want you to know, I'm nobody's fool. The talks that were helpful, the sentences that were helpful, the phrases that were helpful, came from the Holy Spirit. That's the work of the Holy Spirit. And the Styrofoam packaging came from me. I did that. And Styrofoam doesn't amount to very much.
EWTN. Live truth. Live Catholic.
We found her. Where in the world is our Joni? Joan Lewis, of course. Every Wednesday, she joins us normally from the Eternal City of Roma. Today, she is in the beautiful state of Wisconsin, still stateside. So how goes it? What are you doing in Wisconsin? Good morning.
Well, I have a niece in Wisconsin, just not too far from Milwaukee, and her four children, actually, the oldest broken, just out of college this year, so two more boys in high school and one in, and then Cece Cecilia in seventh grade. So lots of activity here. My first full day in Wisconsin was Sunday. So after Mass, I went to a basketball game, which was followed by a volleyball game, which was followed by soccer. Yeah. So
the life of a great auntie. I know it well, right?
Oh, yeah, exactly. Yeah. Yeah. I mean, these kids are involved in so many sports. You really have to have a computer hanging, on your watch or something, your phone to keep everything straight and drive the kids around where they're going. And,
right.
But my niece's name is Christy. She's the second of the five children of my brother Bill. And the youngest is Julie, and Julie just had her fourth little child 5 days ago. And after three boys, she has a gorgeous little girl.
And
Evelyn Ann, and she's absolutely darling. I did post a picture on my with the three boys on my Facebook page. But Christy and I were supposed to drive to Sugar Grove, Illinois today to see her, and I woke up with a very bad cold.
So, oh, you sound good, though. You still sound good.
Yeah, I sound better than I did an hour ago. I was really in alto an hour ago. But no, I'm just devastated. We went shopping yesterday and got some absolutely darling baby clothes and stuff. So I'll have to, but to be this close and then so far, there's no way I would go to a newborn.
And then pass a cold on.
Yeah. Oh, exactly.
Well, let me ask you, when do you get back to Roma? How long are you here in the States?
Yeah, I next Tuesday. So the,
okay, have another week.
On the 11th.
Okay.
The 60th anniversary of the opening of Vatican Council II.
Yeah.
So,
yeah.
You know, be a big day in Rome. But no, it's been a wonderful vacation because it's been such a variety of events and places. I was in Chicago for 6 days, three of which were dedicated to the Order of the Holy Sepulchre as they mm-hmm. had their Midwest annual investment. And it's such a wonderful, wonderful group of people. And I was invested in Rome, so I'm part of that lieutenancy. But after my visit and speech last year to the North Central Lieutenancy of the Order, which is six Midwest states, including Michigan, of course,
mm-hmm.
and they made me an honorary member of that lieutenancy. So it was wonderful to be back in Rome with so many friends and then switch gears and go to very warm, wonderful California, where my sister is and her two girls and her son and Teresa, you'll love it. I visited the Catholic high school that two of my nieces go to. Mm-hmm. They had just transferred this year, so freshman and junior, and they had grandparents' day. So my sister, being the grandparent, we drove. It was about an hour and something drive from Gail's house. So the day began with Mass. And then after that, all the students were to walk their grandparents around. It's a huge campus, 4,000 kids, Olympic swimming pool, the football, something you see in a movie about Southern California high school. Anyway, but after Mass, the president of the school spoke on quoting authors who had said wonderful and or funny things about grandparents. Then he said, okay, now we've got some awards to give out. And so who has the most number of grandchildren? And it turned out there was a woman with 31.
Wow.
And I know. And then he tried to find a delicate way to ask who was the oldest grandparent present. And it looked like a three-way tie at 89. And then a hand goes up in the back of the church, and there was a 92-year-old.
Wow.
And I know. And then the last one, okay, who came the farthest? Wait a minute. did anybody come from out of the country?
Ooh.
So,
did you win a prize?
Yeah, I won the prize, right.
So, I came from Rome. Yeah. Hello. Yoo-hoo. Mr. Cotter, but here
you know,
I am.
I mean, Teresa, you and I know, and everybody listening to us knows, the value of vacation time.
Mm-hmm.
Nine times out of ten, there's travel involved, but also nine times or ten out of ten, there's family involved. And when you live overseas like I do, and thank God for Zoom and photographs and things, but just being with them, you know, seeing a picture of a soccer kick or something is not the same thing.
Same as being there. Out. Yeah.
Yeah.
And also, I think, you know, too, for what we do, the fact that we're on the front lines daily and covering these very big issues in and outside of the church that affect us each individually as Catholics and as Americans,
right.
It's really important to take those breaks, and we have to take time off, and we have to have that time of reflection. And even the Holy Father was talking about that today in his Angelus message, which I loved. Catholic News Agency called it, you know, a hack for a holy life in terms of giving God the passwords to your heart. I love that analogy. And that we have to have discernment. And one of the ways we discern is to get out of our routine, right?
Sure. Oh, yeah. Well, you know, the expression, you're too close to the forest to even see the trees.
Right.
And so it is so important to give, to get a different perspective on things. And so, and that's what I get from nieces and nephews. I mean, I now a great niece a week old, and then the oldest of all the great nieces and nephews is 20. So you have, you know, the newborn to toddlers to teens and college age, and just their differing perspectives as they grow up.
Mm-hmm.
The 12-year-old is going to be one way and the 18 another. Oh, and Christy and Brian have an exchange student with them. His name is Jan. He's from Brazil. He's like 6'4", 6'5", he's 17. One of the nicest, most well-educated. Oh, his English at times I think is better than mine. And his father is an English teacher in Brazil. But it's fascinating to watch his reaction to things. You know, what are the schools like here, and all the sporting activities and being, it's just a whole different life for him. But then it's fun to sit down and talk with him about the culture in his country and school and his siblings and so forth. And how they came in touch with him. Brian, my niece's husband, has six sisters, one of whom dated years ago Jan's father.
Wow.
So they just stayed in touch and wrote letters and stuff over the years, and then kids grow up and exchange programs develop, and all of a sudden you're hosting a young man from another country. And, you know, he'll be here a year, so...
Wow.
He can't wait to see snow.
So when are you heading back next week, right?
Yeah, I leave on Monday. So
okay. And so what type of, not to concentrate on your vacation, but I did want to mention that with the anniversary of Vatican II, you're going to be doing, I'm sure, a lot of coverage on that once you get back home, right?
Oh, sure. And I mean, what? And so much of Vatican II has been up for grabs, shall we say, lately in just over a number of months. When you look at the questions about liturgy, the, you know, traditional Latin Mass, was that allowed or was it not allowed? What's the liturgy status vis-a-vis the documents from Vatican Council II? So many other things. The participants, the participation of laity, which was one of the biggest things to come out of Vatican II, much more participation. Instead of being observers in Mass, you know, we now all, for example, say the Creed. So many prayers we say out loud that before Vatican Council II we didn't. And I never realized a thing. I don't remember how this came up, but before Vatican Council II, there apparently were not concelebrated Masses. You might have a priest present at a Mass being said by another priest, but you wouldn't have two or three priests on the altar.
Mm-hmm.
Because at our summer home, a great aunt had a lot of property, and she'd asked, there were so many Catholics and their church was so small that she'd asked the bishop of the diocese to offer her property. She had pews and kneelers and everything else to offer her property on Sundays for Sunday Mass. And I remember meeting as a child, I remember meeting a number of visiting priests, but only one of them would ever say Mass. And that opened up apparently after Vatican Council too. So I think we're going to probably spend some time this year. I mean, I think the media will, the Holy Father, looking at some of the documents, looking at Vatican Council.
That's what I hope, because you and I talk about this a lot, the documents that the church gives us. And for me, what I really loved, of course, with our interest in media, Intermorifica, and then we started with the World Communications Day statements that came out after Vatican II, and now those are available to us, and we just had the Holy Father's message at World Communications Day for next year that came out. So people miss so much when they don't read the documents. And they think that the documents are only for priests, bishops, and cardinals and deacons, and they're not.
No, and what can happen, too, as you and I know well, you can have different people reading the same document and getting different things out of it, depending on how they're approaching questions in the church. I don't like the political division of the words, conservative and liberal, but right. I like Orthodox and so it is important to read the documents themselves. You and I and others have to work hard sometimes to read the documents and then give a very well-balanced summary of it. So it'll be interesting to see which Vatican offices this year might review some of the documents, or mm-hmm. what the Holy Father. Maybe he'll start a series of audiences on Wednesdays, dedicated to some of the documents. Who knows? Mm-hmm. But it was a tsunami change in the church. And in the first place, we go to Mass today and hear it said in our own language. So mm-hmm. whereas years ago, some of us grew up with the Latin. My brothers were altar boys. I even remember their answers, when they had to, because we had to rehearse with them when they were learning to be altar boys. So a very big change, and we are living those changes. So, and then, of course, there's generations growing up, just like my nieces and nephews that only knew post-Vatican II. So,
well, I didn't have a chance to talk to you yet, but maybe we can pick it up next week when you get back, because I really want to talk more about Georgia Maloney and the unfair treatment she is receiving from the secular press, which is just ridiculous. I mean, this is a woman who's so strong in her faith, and now the media are trying to dismiss her election as it's no big deal, but a lot of folks are saying, wait a minute, you've got Italy, you've got Sweden, you've got Hungary, you've got a real shift now going on in Europe toward a more balanced in terms of real faithful people speaking out. And a lot of the Italians have simply had it with what's been going on, and living there. But I had a conversation the other day at an Italian restaurant with someone when the woman noticed my purse, and she said, where'd you get it? I said, Rome, and we started talking about Italy, of course, one of my favorite topics, next to Jesus and my husband. And I said, well, I go to Rome quite a bit. And she said, aren't you afraid to go back there now? I'm like, why would I be afraid? Because of the woman who was elected. I'm like, what is she going to do? Wrap me up in a rosary and a Vatican flag and throw me in the Tiber River? I mean, this is the attitude of people. But this is the secular media that's doing this.
Teresa, they're not looking at it logically or even historically, because what you have to know is that the European Union has a lot of say in the lives of the countries that are mm-hmm. members of the Union. And if Italy tried to go over the bend through the new prime minister with her, I want to put in quote marks the word fascist, it just wouldn't happen.
Right. Italy, well, but the media don't want you to think that. They want you to think she's an extremist, that she's going to pressure people their faith because she's pro-life and pro-family. We'll talk about that next week. I'm really proud of her. She's very strong and she speaks up for truth. Joan, safe travels back to the States. Hope you feel better. Enjoy the time with family and look forward to having you back on from Roma next week. We'll be right back. It is a Wednesday morning, the Feast of St. Faustina. Jesus, we trust in you. We'll be right back.
Steve Ray here with a Holy Land pilgrimage update. Israel's now open again and has removed all vaccine requirements. Our brand new buses and Catholic guide are ready to welcome you. Check out our upcoming pilgrimages to the biblical lands of Israel and Jordan. Pray every mystery of the rosary where it happened. walk in the footprints of Mary and Jesus, and let us be your guides.
To learn more about your Ave Maria Radio trip, find the Ave Maria Radio travel tab at AveMariaRadio.net.
Hi, everybody. Dr. Ray Guarendi here. If you're like me, you're anxious to make sure that your children hold on to their precious Catholic faith you've given them. But you also know that many kids leave the faith around the same time they leave their parents. In their brand new free webinar, Raising Confident Catholic Kids, Dr. Greg and Lisa Popcheck will share the secrets of lovingly raising your children in the faith so that they'll always treasure it. This webinar, which is completely free to attend, is happening on Wednesday, October 12th at 7:30 p.m. Eastern Time. You'll learn what it takes to raise kids who will hold on to their faith and get tips to make sure you'll be the primary influence in your children's lives, even more than the culture and their peers, and so much more. If you're a Catholic parent, this is not a webinar you want to miss. Sign up today at CatholicHome.com/webinar. Again, go to CatholicHome.com/webinar to sign up today.
People ask how they can care for older family members who can't fully care for themselves. One answer is Visiting Angels, America's choice in senior home care. Visiting Angels assists adults nationwide with 600 locations to continue living at home and not have to move into a nursing home. Their caregivers provide assistance in hygiene, meals, and light housework. Services are provided up to 24 hours per day, and you can select your caregiver before service begins. More information, including franchise opportunities, is on the web at visitingangels.com.
Thanks so much for tuning in to a Wednesday morning edition of EWTN's Catholic Connection, co-produced by EWTN and Ave Maria Radio. Excited to have my Archbishop on tomorrow, Archbishop Alan Vigner on. We're going to talk about getting the church involved and making a difference in the culture, specifically what we're facing in Michigan and what will impact a good portion of the country, even you, if we're not careful. And that's Proposal 3, what we're doing to defeat it and what it means to the rest of us. We'll be right. Well, we'll talk to you tomorrow.
You've been listening to Catholic Connection with Teresa Tomeo. Catholic Connection is a co-production of Ave Maria Radio and EWTN Radio and carried across the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network. Our producer is Andrew Krucek. For copies of this program or for more information, visit AveMariaRadio.net. That's AveMariaRadio.net. Thanks for listening, and join us next time for another edition of Catholic Connection.